Take your Bibles, if you would, and as you stand once again and turn to the book of Ezekiel and the first chapter of the book of the prophet Ezekiel. We'll begin our reading at verse 4. That's Ezekiel 1, verse 4. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. And now the mist thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the mist thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. Notice that his first remark about their appearance is they had the likeness of a man. They had the likeness of a man. And every one had four faces. Does that sound like a man to you? And every one had four faces. I've seen a lot of folks with two faces. But these have four faces. And everyone had four wings. Does that sound like a man? And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Four faces, four wings, and their feet were straight feet. And the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. Does that still sound like a man? Nothing so far has sounded like a man, or the appearance of a man. Now look at verse 8. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. The only resemblance of a human in this is a set of hands. And they had the hands of a man. And where are they positioned? Under the wings. Subservient to the wing, beneath the wing. The wing is predominant. The hand is subservient to the wings. But this is, of course, the first thing he recognizes is something that is akin to him, and that's those hands that are beneath those wings. And I want to somehow, by the help and grace of God here today, help bring this vision of the prophet Ezekiel alive in your spirit and life here tonight. As we talk about hands and wings. Hands and wings. Let's pray, could we? We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, and oh, your wonderful grace. For without it, Lord, what would we do? Where would we be if you had somehow not touched us in your grace and your mercy? And led us to a place that we might find this glorious gospel and called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And I thank you, Jesus, for all you've done and what you shall do. Bless this house. Put your wonderful touch on it as only you can do. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you're seated here tonight. The book of Ezekiel is, of course, each book of the Bible has its own facet, has its own peculiarity to it. But Ezekiel is so different than any of the other prophetic books of the prophets. It begins with a bang. It begins with nothing less than the very throne of Almighty God, a vision of God's throne. And in the midst of this vision that he sees this fire enfolding fire. He can't really envision the throne and he who sits there, but he sees the majesty of the power that surrounds it. And then while there is lightning and thunderings, you know, that kind of brings your mind back to the mount where Moses received the commandments from God. That in the midst of that, that coming out from there, coming out from the very presence of God Almighty, are these four living creatures, he calls them. Cherubim is another name for them. But they're very unique creatures. And in his vision, he begins to describe them. These creatures are the closest things to the throne of God. They have emanated from the throne and going forth from God's presence. And he calls them again living creatures. You remember how that God has used these creatures at different times in the Bible. There was an angel that was put at the very entrance of the garden with a flaming sword that kept the way to the tree of life, that they might not return thither, that anybody that would ever partake of that tree would have to taste of the sword of death. And of course, that's what Jesus Christ did. Amen. He partook of that death. Amen. To once again reissue the ability of the tree of life to man. But it's also that which was on the Ark of the Covenant. Positioned on either end of the Ark of the Covenant are these two cherubim with their wings reaching up and reaching over and touching one another. And their vision is not toward each other. It is not toward the golden walls of that room, but they are looking into the place where the blood is applied. And there is where their attention is. And you find them many times throughout the Bible in the very issuance of the very presence of God himself. Now look at their makeup. He begins to describe them. And when that it's all said and done, these creatures are a composite of the known, that's the hands, and of the unknown, four faces, wings, feet like the feet of a calf's foot. They sparkle like burnished brass. In other words, they are a creature that is made up of known and unknown. They are a composite of the heavenly and the earthly at the same time. They have earthly attributes and they have heavenly attributes that are manifested there. That's why that the prophet says they had the likeness of a man, because he quickly associates what is relating to him that he knows, and that was those hands. The hands speak of the earthly. The hands speak of the fleshly part. The hands speak of that which is of the human part of these individuals. Praise the Lord. Now, let me make this clear, that there is a big difference between carnality and flesh. There is a difference in being carnal and having flesh. We're all in flesh, but we have this vessel, this earthen vessel, this fleshly vessel, amen, has that containment that when you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive the gift of God within this earthen vessel in this glorious touch of God in our life. Amen. But they are individuals that didn't, it means they didn't turn left nor right. That means they always followed the unction and the leadership of God. Again, speaking of their uniqueness of being both heavenly and earthly. And so you have individuals that are a composite. You may not realize it or not, but if you can remember back to the time you got the Holy Ghost. Now, before you got the Holy Ghost, you were nothing but hands. That's all you were, and that's all I was hands, flesh, and in that essence, sinful flesh, carnal flesh. Amen. We had hands that we maneuvered to do the things that the flesh does. But when you came and bowed down at an altar and repented of your sin, and God filled you with the Holy Ghost, in essence, you just sprouted some wings. Now there's a spiritual counterpart to you. You're no longer what you used to be. But when you came up out of that baptismal grave, you came up to walk in newness of life. Amen. You have now a difference about you that you never had before. And that when you begin to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance, that was God Almighty making up his habitation within this vessel of clay. Well, praise the Lord. And so you're no longer just flesh, but now you are a composite creature, amen, made up of spirit and flesh. But that's if you walk out, that's why we have the option. That's why we have the ability to either walk out to the flesh or walk out to the Spirit. Now, if you don't have God, you can't walk after the Spirit. You got to have the Spirit to be able to walk after the Spirit. And so Paul gives the injunction to us that you should walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, because if you walk after the flesh, you will die. But if you walk out the Spirit, you shall live. You have that responsibility. In other words, you got to learn the balance. But when God filled you with the Holy Ghost, he didn't make you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet a spiritual creature all through and through. You're still flesh. You're still hands. But now you got some wings, brother. Well, praise the Lord. But you got to learn the balance. And one of the hardest things about the Christian life is learning the ability to work in the balance of again, between flesh and spirit. You're not all spirit. And hopefully you're not all flesh now. Praise the Lord. But now you have the ability to be able to perform in both arenas under the guidance of Jesus Christ. Balance, brother, balance. Finding and maintaining that proper balance is where the difficulty comes in. You've heard the expression, some people are so heavenly minded and no earthly good. And then you have others that are so fleshly and so carnal, they can't get in the Spirit. That ought not be our story. You ought to be able to do what the hands are supposed to do in God, but you're supposed to live in the Spirit. God didn't make us just spiritual creatures. He gave us His Spirit in this situation. Now, remember the placement. This is vital. The placement is the hands, again, are where? Beneath the wings. They are subservient to the wings. The wings should take priority. But God didn't take away your hands. Well, praise the Lord. There's still things that the hands are supposed to do in living for God. Somebody said, well, you can't worship God in the flesh. I'd like to see you worship Him some other way. But praise the Lord, because you are a body of flesh with the gift of the Holy Ghost dwelling in you. The Spirit doesn't make you clap your hands. No, it doesn't. The Spirit does not make you say, praise the Lord. You got to have the volition, amen, to bring your body under subjection and make it worship God and make it be omniscient to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's up to you to bow your knee. It's up to you to pray. It's up for you to do the work of God. It's up. You got to get the two things together. Let me give you the perfect example of flesh and spirit. And that's Jesus Christ. The flesh never got out of bounds, and the Spirit always was just right. Always beneath the wings. Because He's God Almighty in flesh. Manifested in the flesh. You can't nail a spirit to a tree. You can't nail that which is just vaporous to a cross. The reason Jesus Christ came in the flesh was to show us that you can live for God in with the Holy Ghost in you. Amen. If you will somehow discipline your flesh to obey the Spirit. And so through fleshly hands they impaled on the cross. A fleshly side is opened up, and forthwith out came blood and water. Praise the Lord. Jesus was the perfect example, but notice about Jesus that He got weary. What part of that was Him that got weary? The hands, not the Spirit. God doesn't even slumber. But Jesus Christ slept. He became weary from the journey. Because He is that perfect example of flesh and spirit united in one. Praise the Lord. That's how our salvation is wrought. Amen. He hungered. He slept. Amen. But on the other hand, He turned around and healed, opened blinded eyes, and raised the dead to life. What part of Him did that? Not the flesh part. Amen. But the Spirit part. He said, if you don't believe Me, amen, for what I say, then believe Me for the very work's sake. For it's the Father that dwelleth in Me, He doeth the works. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is not a second person of the Godhead. This is God in flesh. It is God Almighty robed in flesh walking among us. But He put Himself into this limitation. So He was the perfect example of Ezekiel's creature. Amen. And again, like I said, learning to be both hands and wings is a full-time job. Because if you're not careful, you'll let the hands get out of subjection. Flesh get out of control. Or you'll begin to, and it's really just the flesh when you begin to think you're holier than thou. Well, praise the Lord. Because real holiness will humble you, not make you proud. Well, praise the Lord. Our salvation was not wrought entirely by spirit. The lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Calvary was a place where it was. When you come up here and the pastor anoints you to be healed and anoints you, you know how that healing comes? It is the spirit that heals, but what bore the stripes? The fleshly body of Jesus Christ. By his stripes, we are healed. So he is the perfect example of flesh and spirit. Amen. Of the beautiful, perfect combination. Now, let's bring it back to us. It takes both hands and wings to have church. Oh, yes, it does. It takes both flesh. Again, that's different than carnality. It takes your body that you're in and spirit to have church and to do the will of God in your life. Praise the Lord. It takes both of them and the hands working in subjection to the wing. Amen. To the spirit. It always must be under that subjection. That is why the Bible said faith. If faith abides by itself, it's dead. But faith is a spiritual thing, isn't it? But faith by itself is dead. That's why the writer tells us that if you want to see my faith, watch my works. Watch the hand part. Well, praise the Lord, because faith without works is dead. Faith is the wing. The works is how you maneuver yourself to obey the Holy Ghost. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. That's why that is such a unity of flesh and spirit. Like I said, there's going to come a time, thank God, when we'll be transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and this body's going to put on incorruption. Praise the Lord. This mortality is going to put on immortality. But until then, you're going to have to learn how to work your hands and obey the wings in your life. Praise the Lord. That's God's standard operating procedure. Let me show you that throughout the Bible. This is his operating procedure. Believe it or not. And that is that hands must first do their part before the wings begin to do what they can do. Oh, yes, it is. The hands must perform their obligation. Like I said, just try to have church without flesh. Well, praise the Lord. But I can assure you this. If you will be obedient to the wings and obey the Spirit of God and do what you are supposed to do in your body, God will always take care of the rest. Well, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, he will. Look at the places in the Bible where God exemplified this over and over and over again. There is an enemy that has the people of Israel greatly outnumbered. And they go to God and they say, help us, Lord. Do something. Because when the battle is engaged, they're going to wipe us out. They have us so outnumbered. Now, God could have just destroyed the enemy like that. But that's not what he did. Look what he did. He said, dig this valley full of ditches. What? That's manual labor, folks. Ditch digging. Back breaking. Amen. Blister rising on your hands. He said, I want ditches going north, south, east, west, and intersect them from every other vector you can. But you dig this valley full of ditches. What's that got to do with winning a battle? I'm telling you, because God always requires the hands to do their part. He always requires that the hands, if you're going to see the glory of God, you got to put your faith at work. You got to do and obey. And they just did that. They dug the valley full of ditches. And then God filled those ditches with what looks like blood to the enemy. The enemy wakes up and said, oh, my Lord, they've destroyed each other and turned around and went home. Amen. But you see that God says, if you're going to get the victory, you hear me, church? If you're going to have the victory in this church, you got to get your hands busy. You got to obey the Spirit. It's got to be your hand that knocks the door. It's got to be your mouth that it makes the invitation. It's got to be your hands that clap your hands, all you people. It's got to be you that pray. It's got to be you that puts your body into living for God. Make this valley full of ditches. Lazarus is sick. Come, Lord. He whom thou lovest is sick, nigh unto death. And Jesus tarried. Until finally they said, well, we're going to Lazarus. And Jesus said, Lazarus is sleeping. They said, oh, well, if he's sleeping, he's doing right. He said, Lazarus is dead. You all seen their eyes. Lord, I don't quite understand this now. Several days ago, they came and told you that Lazarus was nigh unto death, and we stayed here. He said, that's so that you might see the glory of God. And when they got there, he was met with accusation. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. See, they think now this is, Jesus can't go past this point. As long as there's, you know, the old expression, as long as there's life, there's hope. But I'm telling you, in Christ, there's hope. Even beyond life. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. And he waited on purpose. And he says, show me where you laid him. Of course, he knew where he was. Jesus never asked a question for his own information. He's not gaining information. He asked it for you. Show me where you put him. Show me where you've laid him. They carried it out there, and there's this huge stone on the face of that sepulcher. Now, this is God Almighty in flesh. He could have spoke and had that huge stone just cast into the heavens and become a meteorite. He could have brought Lazarus through it if he so desired. But he didn't do any of that. He stood there and said, hey, fellas, you roll away the stone. Hands. And this is, that when they put those stones up there, they put them there for forever to seal the face of a tomb, to put it there that creatures didn't get in. They put large, heavy stones that few men couldn't push away. The grave robbers couldn't come by just a few and get into those graves. Huge stone. And he said, you roll away the stone. Get your hands. Here's the hands. Now go do your part. And they put, and because he said that stone wasn't 1 ounce lighter. wasn't 1 ounce easier. But it took all the backs and all the hands and all the pushing and all the heaving they could do to roll it out of the way. But once they rolled it out of the way, there's not enough hands in the world that can do anything for Lazarus now. So get those hands back up under those wings, and the wings are fixing to do its part. And he called out with a loud voice, naming him personally. Amen. Lazarus, come forth. And he which was dead, amen, came out of that tomb wrapped in the claws of death and tomb material, came leaping out, amen. And then he told them again, you loose him and let him go. Amen. You get your hands on it and unwrap him. Praise the Lord. Are you getting to see the picture? If you want to have the move of God you need in this church, you got to put your hands to work. Amen. You got to put your legs to work. You got to get a little sweat on your brow. You got to get a little bit of hurting back every once in a while. But if you do the will of God, do what the hands can do, the wings will take care of the rest. Praise God. Over and over and over again, it's illustrated over and over again. Tax collector came and said, does your master believe in paying taxes? Peter said, wait a minute, and I'll go find out. He went to the Lord, and the Lord gave him a little message. He is free. Born free is free indeed. But nevertheless, because we live in this society, and Caesar will yield and unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I like that little illustration he gives at one time. It says, whose image? He said, well, that's Caesar. Well, you give to Caesar that which is his. But at the same time, whose image are you in? Man was made in the image of God. You give God, amen, what is his due. Praise the Lord. Give Caesar his due, but you give God his due. But here they said, the Lord said, yes, we believe in paying it, and go pay the man. They said, well, whoop, 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 whoop. We now have determined that we pay our taxes. The problem is we ain't got nothing to pay it with. Sound familiar? Now, Jesus could have done several things again. He could have just made the money appear in Peter's hand. He could have done one better and just made the tax collector evaporate. That'd have been my druthers. But he didn't know that. He tells Peter, and we're talking about tax money here now. Go down there and cast your line in and catch a fish. Now, Peter knew how to fish. Yes, he did. Let me tell you something. God's not going to have you doing something you don't know how to do. If you do what you know to do, you'll always know what to do. If you'll keep on obeying what, and Peter now is going to go do what he knows to do. And Jesus says, and when you catch the fish, open his mouth and take the coin out. Amen. Because there's going to be a coin in this fish's mouth, and you bring it. Now, a long time ago out there on the Sea of Galilee, some guy's fishing out there, and he's got his money purse, and he kind of drops it, and one of those coins drops over the side. Could have been years ago, and a fish just swallows it up. How many fish are in that lake, in that Sea of Galilee? Multiplied thousands. But one of them's got the miracle. Praise the Lord. Amen. And Peter goes in there. He knows how to fish. Wait till you feel that tug, and then you cross his eyeballs and bring him. And when he does, he opens up his mouth, and sure enough, there's a coin. Now, I'm just showing you that all again. God could have done so many different things, but what did he have him do? He had him go through a physical exercise, amen, to bring about a miracle of God. Amen. Look, we so many times get to where we just sit on the pew and wait for it just to happen and us do nothing. Amen. But my Bible says, wait on the Lord. You know what a waiter is? When you go in a restaurant, you know that's a waiter, waitress. Praise the Lord. Amen. You think that means just sit down and do nothing, but a waiter's supposed to be attending that table. Amen. It's supposed to be coming and going, and we're supposed to wait on the Lord. Amen. You need to be up and about the Father's business. You need to be doing the things that you can do. Amen. You need to be efforting in your efforts to do the will of God in your body and let God take care of the rest. Praise the Lord. Amen. Like I said, there's just so many multiplicities of these, this standard operating procedure. Faith is a verb, sir. It's a forward going, doing something. Praise God. Matter of fact, you know, Moses kind of made a mistake one time. They got to the Red Sea. And Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of God. That wasn't God's idea. Because God said, hey, tell them to go forward. Tell them to march right out in toward that sea. Pray, don't stand here and just wait. Walk toward your miracle. Amen. Go toward it. And when you get where you can go no further, amen, where the flesh can't possibly go any further in this, I'll take care of the rest. And the sea parted. Amen. But you have to go forward. Amen. Again, you can't just sit here. You can't just say, if it happens, it happens. No, you got to, by your faith, you begin to put your works to action. Amen. You begin to do the will of God. Amen. You find and be obedient to the wings. Praise God. Boy, some people, if they treated a trampoline like they try to live for God, they'd just roll out in the middle of it. Not the way trampolines work. You can't just lay on it and the trampoline bounces you. You know how it works, don't you? You know trampoline? You know how it works, don't you? You got it. If you give it a little jump, it'll give you a little push back. You give it a bigger jump, it'll give you a bigger push back. The more you put into it, the more it will respond back to you. Praise the Lord. That's the way you got to do in church. If you don't do anything, don't you expect anything. But if you can somehow start putting a little bit in, you begin to feel the repercussions of glory coming down in your life. And the more you put into it, the more God will respond to it. Praise the Lord. Draw nigh to God. The initiative. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh unto you. You got to start drawing nigh, and He will draw nigh to you. The good thing is He takes a whole lot bigger steps than I do. Boy, if my salvation depended on me touching with my index finger this column, I'm lost. I'm done. I don't stand a chance. But the good thing is that if I give it all I've got, you say it's impossible. Yeah, but here's the difference. God makes up the difference, stand in the gap and make up the hedge.
Amen. God fills in the emptiness between there, but you got to try, you hear me? You got to put the effort into it. Amen. You can't just be lackadaisical, but you got to put your heart into it. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all the heart, all the mind, all the soul, and all the strength. Praise the Lord.
That's why we still need folks. You know, angels, God's not going to send angels down here to, with vacuum cleaners to clean up after church. He's not going to send angels down here when the paint begins to peel off the wall and give angel, you know, painter angels to come. Guess who's going to do all that? God's not going to send an angel to go knock on the doors. Now, he'll let an angel go with you, but it's going to be your hand that has to do the knocking and your mouth that does the witnessing. Praise the Lord. And when you begin to do your part, when you begin to do your part, you know, that's where those hands are. They're under the wings. And once the hand has done all they can do, the wings always take care of the rest. Praise the Lord. Every real revival that ever came to an apostolic church was a hands and wings revival. Always. It's never, you know, the Quakers. You know anything about the Quakers and the Shakers? Quakers quit quaking a long time ago, and the Shakers quit shaking. Amen. You know why? Because they got down to the place where they said, well, we're not going to do anything unless God moves. Well, guess what? They're still sitting.
Somebody said, when I feel something, I worship. That ain't the way this works. You don't worship because of what you feel. You worship because of what you know. He's been the best thing that ever happened in my life. Amen. I may be entirely drug out and weary. Amen. But I'm going to get my hands up. I'm going to begin to praise him and glorify him. Amen. And after a while, amen, you begin to feel the movement of the wings in the house. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, I will work and who will let it? Praise the Lord. That's why all of our aspects are our hands, and we even holiness is that. Angels don't dress you. You got to get up and put on your own modest clothing. You got to get your own razor out and shave your face, fellas. Well, praise the Lord. You got to sit down in the barber chair and let somebody cut your hair. Well, praise the Lord. Your ladies got to, you know, have a dress somewhere that is modest and that doesn't happen. That's handwork. But it shows out, amen, who is in us and who lives within us. You don't want hands that are filthy and dirty beneath the wings. You want clean hands. Lift up righteous hands, clean hands, amen, and worship and magnify the Lord. I want my life to be what it ought to be in Christ. Amen, amen, amen. And he comes. Oh, how beautiful. This is nothing holy about that. It's olive oil. Some Abraham with a cigarette in his mouth squeezed that out. Wasn't no holy man. Angels didn't do that. It's just olive oil. But once you put it into God's plan, it becomes something else altogether. Any sick among you, let them call for the elder of the church, and they shall anoint with oil. Now, that's all hand stuff. Hand of the pastor, your forehead, shall anoint with oil. But he comes with healing in his wings. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Thank God he's still a healer. Amen. But if you want your healing, you got to reach out and feel after him. Happy that you might find him. Amen. You got to feel after him. Search after him. In the day you seek for him with all your heart, he shall be found of you. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Let's stand, would you please? Baptism. Again, it's the pastor, his muscles, his words, your body, in that baptismal tank. That physical part has to be done. That hand part has to be done. But brother, when you are pushed under that water, into that watery grave, hallelujah, no hands in the world can do what's fixing to happen. Because when you come up out of that water and God fills you with your spirit, with his spirit, and you arise to walk in newness of life, old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You are a new creature in Christ. And four living creatures came out of the presence of Almighty God. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. But there's so much more of this creature that is not earthly. It's heavenly. Praise the Lord. There's come a time, you hear me, regardless of you know, the rapture could take place now. But if you go in the cold, cold clay, there's coming a moment when in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise. Praise the Lord. You can't do that by hand power. You do it because the Spirit of Almighty God and his resurrection power shall raise you from the dead. Hallelujah. If you lived your life doing what you can do in your flesh, in obedience to the Spirit, keeping your life pure and clean before him, keeping the hands in subjection to the Spirit. Amen. The wings will always take care of the rest. Because we can't do that part. He just asked us to be obedient to his Spirit. And then he says, just like he said, let me ask you a question. Who eats first at the master's table? He said, the master does. And they wait on the master until what? He's well eaten, till he's satisfied. And then the servants get to partake of the king's food. After they've waited on him, the master served first. Praise the Lord. We got too many people come to the door with the idea, what I get out of this. You need to come in with lifting up holy hands, without wrath, without doubt, without fear. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, and bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that's within me, bless his holy name. Praise the Lord, giving him thanks, giving him praise, giving him glory. And then, just like those nights, there's never been a move of God in a church where everybody was sitting down doing nothing. And all of a sudden, it just exploded. Trace it back. Somebody was feeling after him. Usually a whole lot of somebody's. Tears were running down cheeks, and people were praying, and people were believing. The next thing you know, the wings start moving. Praise the Lord. But the hands always had to do their part first. That's just the way it is. If you need something from God, that's why even to get the Holy Ghost, you can get it right where you're standing, but you got to do it. You can't. As bad as God wants to give you the Holy Ghost, he will not give it to you if you do nothing. You got to feel after him. I'm not talking about calisthenics. I'm talking about in your heart, in your mind, and in your body, and in your thoughts. I need him. Oh, I need him. And then when you have felt after him and sought for him, he never leaves you without an answer from his Spirit. Praise the Lord. If this assembly right here would just get this little lesson, it's not profound, it's just this. Do your part, whatever it might be. And if you don't know what that part is, then you need to pray and need to listen to the preacher. That direction comes. And when it does, do your part physically and put your heart into it and stay beneath those wings. And when you've done what you can do, he'll always take care of the rest. Won't he? Yes, he will. Pastor's going to come here again. Thank you so very kindly for your attention to the word of the Lord and for your sincere heart for him. God has great things for this Augusta church. God's not through. God's not done. Until he takes this church out of here, he's still in the saving business. He's still in the miracle working business. He's still in deliverance business. Well, praise the Lord. And you're going to look around a little while and say, my. Amen. The wings. It's all to his glory. It will never be that you did it. It'll always be, thank God he did it. Because just like rolling away that stone, you can't brag about rolling it away. Because you can't give life to Lazarus. Only God can do that. But you got to roll it away, and then you got to wait on God to call forth the dead. Praise the Lord. Lift your hands as the good brother comes tonight. Come on, let's magnify him.